Okay, good morning, gentlemen. I'm sorry, I ran out of steam yesterday. I was trying to figure out what happened. The daylight saving has definitely been a challenge for me because I prepare early, and then since it's like an hour earlier than that, yesterday's Gemara was not complicated per se. It was very wordy. So we're going to start again because we're going to lose it. Hopefully, we'll be able to go through it quickly. I did not, at that moment, I was getting confused, and I felt like I couldn't teach it if I was confused about it. If I'm confused, and then, and you're trying to learn it, you could be even more confusing. Sometimes when you restart a Gemara, you just get a little bit of traction, and then all of a sudden, the words work out. So basically, the question is, it started on 19a, very simple question. You find a will. It's not actually a will. It's a will like deals with everything. This is a specific gift that was given to a person somebody was dying and they wrote a gift. They gave away some of their property to a person. And the question is, you find this document, you're a third party, and it happened to be Baruch Hashem, the person didn't die. So do you give it back to him, or do you give it back to the recipient, or do you hold on to it? That's what do you do? So we've talked about this. This is the constant theme. You want to do good by returning it, but you don't want to harm anybody. Now, if you're giving it to this person, there's somebody else who has this right now, and you're going to say, surprise, it doesn't go to you, it goes to him. Well, do I know that this document is true? Do I know that this document is verified and therefore by my gift, was this ever given? Was it activated on? In other words, let's say the person was thinking of giving it to this person and then in the end, he changed his mind and he gave him something else. So by me taking this document that I found that might not have ever been given. We were talking before about the things that were found in Seamus in the Cairo Geniza. Many times they put in Geniza things, it's because they weren't meant to be printed. So today they want to pull out, it says in the Cairo, it was put in the Geniza for a reason. Maybe this will was not given because they changed their mind. Oh, the guy said, you were going to give me that, I wanted that. Okay, I'll write you that. So it never happened. So that's really so we had a contradiction. Can you give it back or not? Is there any downside to going to the person whose name is on this death gift? I'd like to find a better word for it. They call it, like I said, a will can be, it's not a complete will. It's a specific gift to a person. So on the Yud Tes Amud Aleph 19a, we ask the question, and as we turn the page to the top of yesterday's page, Amar Rav Aharon Lo Kasha. Now we're going to go on Yud Tes Amud Beis, and we're just going to read through it, because like I said yesterday, I ran out of gas in explaining the case. But the answer is actually very simple. It depends on how that death gift was given. There's two different kinds of death gifts. One is one that's written when the person was of sound mind and sound body, when he wrote it as a bori. He gives it, and he was well, and it follows the regular rules. And usually when things are written when a person is well, he gave it to somebody. The reason why using the word a will is not great, because a will, you can always write a new will. But if you give a gift, it's done. He gave a gift because he was dying, he gave a gift. And so the problem now is, well, maybe it got gifted to a different person, or maybe this was never received. And so that's our question. So there's two kinds of gifts. There's the gift on the sickbed, and then just a general gift not on the sickbed. Babori, when he was well. So a gift not on the sickbed, you can't change your mind. He's an any giver. He gave it to the person already. So but a gift on the sickbed, Shkimeira, the guy thought he was dying, and they actually write in the document that this was written from the hospital bed. That's what they write. Rashi brings... let's look in Rashi, because otherwise, how would you know? How do you know from the document how the person was, was he well or not? So Rashi, top Rashi on Yud Tes Amud Beis, Haba Bori, Shaushtar Matnas Bori. This was a gift. See, See, that's why I don't want to call it a will. It's a gift. It's a gift deed. It's a gift deed. The lo kasa be, and they didn't write in it that he wrote it from the hospital bed. Kidakani varami barisa. The word arisa means in the bed. Kedin shikos mishdai matnashkimi. Because if it was written while he was sick, it gets a special wording. So this way, there are different halachas if it was written. For one thing is he can change his mind if he gets better. That was the whole, he thought he was dying, and he wanted to, you know, and he wanted to put his mind at ease and pay certain people back. But now that he's alive, he wants to pull back all those gifts. He didn't need to give it. He thought he was going to die, so he gave it away. Now that he's alive, he'll deal with it. So that the special rules of Shkimera only apply if they wrote that into that gift document that he was in bed when he wrote it. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to explain. Masnisin. So again, we had in one case where we tell the finder, give it back. And in another case, we say, don't give it back. So now, this is an ukimta. This is answer number one. Now, the Gemara isn't going to like this answer because you're forced to explain two different cases. The Mishnah is talking about one case, one kind of document, and the Bryce is talking about a different kind of document. But it didn't say that. It just, well, the Mishnah said, you find a will, give it back. The other one says, you find a will, you don't give it. You find a dataki, give it back. One time, you find a dataki, don't give it back. But so answer number one is there's two different kind of datakis. One of them said he wrote it when he was sick. One of them didn't say he wrote it when he was sick. Okay, but that's the first answer the Gemara is going to give. And now we're going to explain why there in one case you would give it back, in one case you wouldn't. Masisnik tani ma ha omer tanu nosnin. The Mishnah that said, if you ask the guy and he said, give it, that's talking about the document that you found was a shkimera will. A shkimera gift, the bar maharhu, that he can change his mind. Damrina ma'ikala meimar, and the reason why you give it back is there will be no harm to anybody else. Why? What do you want to say? Dilma kasma acher lahay v'imloch. Maybe he gave it to someone else. He originally wrote it to give it to this guy, and then he changed his mind and gave it to a different person. The imloch, and he changed his mind. Velo yahayv, and you know what? This one was never given. So if you're turning this into a good deed, you're doing a good deed by giving back a good deed. Maybe vahadar, he actually changed his mind and never gave it. And kasa in a shachrina, the yahayv nahale. And now that you're giving this one, hashta kahadar be mehudi yahayv nahale. This we're going to end up seeing that he has two deeds. But guess what? You go with the second one. Because since he wrote it as a sick person, he can always change his mind. So anyways, even if he never gave it, it's not going to bother us because the second deed, the second gift will always have a later date and you'll go with the second one. So that's if this was written as a shkimera gift, it's no problem. Now, on the other hand, ibet matnas bori yaiv nawe. Now, if this was given when he was not on the deathbed, but so it's also no loss. The key mafik tarti bas raisa, because in the end, again, our concern is that this wasn't the one who got this will in the end. This wasn't the one who, he changed his mind and actually gave it to a different person. So by giving it to that person, you're harming somebody, shelo kadin. That's our concern. But when Basin gets the two documents, zocha, the harbe kamaisa, the last one would be the one clearly that they would go with. So, iba matnashkimera, and even if both of them were matnashkimera, yav nahali, less lepsated de basraisa, the second one would get it. Tiki harbe mekamaisa, because he's changing his mind. Ki katani bebraisa, now where it says in the braisa, afa bishneim, you shouldn't give it back, that's talking about a case where a healthy person gave it that he can't change his mind. Maybe he originally thought to give it to this one, and he changed his mind, and he didn't give it. And then he gave it to someone else. And if you give him, giving it to the person now is trying to change your mind, from the one it was actually given to him, and the reason he wrote this is all a con game. Because he knows he can't change his mind, so he wrote this and pretended that this was earlier. Amar lehu da'ana lahayav v'nehalei kosva, and The reason why he wrote that is kiheka de ki mafik hai buksav. This one will have the earlier date. He'll get it. Ella. So therefore, we don't do that. Ella amile anan hai kosei lo yavini lahai. We don't do it. Dilma miktav kosei. Maybe this true that this has an earlier date. But we don't know if it was actually ever given. And someone else got it. So now, if he never gave it to the other person, and we're trying to do it, they'll end up giving it to the wrong person. Because the first person would get it. So this is an extremely wordy Gemara. I even saw the... Somebody wanted to say it was written by the Gaonim. They're a little more wordy than the earlier. But it's just basically saying that sometimes if you give the will back, it's not going to cause any harm because you're allowed to change your mind. And so by giving it to this person, it's not going to cause the person who's supposed to get it a problem. Whereas if the person changed their mind, and sometimes you're not allowed to change your mind, and they would end up having this. So the question is, would we figure out whether or not it was ever given? If it was never given, even if you changed your mind, it doesn't matter. But if it was given and you changed your mind, it would matter. So that's why in the second case, we say, put a hold to it. Fine. This is answer number one. Both of them mention the same word, and it doesn't seem to differentiate between, well, one was a dataki on the deathbed, and one was not a dataki, and it didn't say that. So Rizvid suggests a different answer. Same case. But both of them are talking about written in the sickbed. One was the father and one was the... By the way, it didn't say one was the father, one was the son. So this is like all Gemaras. The question is, what answer is the least doichik? So, masnisin de katanu nosnin, when the original person is still alive who gave it, so then you can give it to the other guy because there's no loss. The kamu basra, basra zochi, because if there's a later one given, the later one's going to get it. The haderbe mekamek, because you see he's changing his mind from that original gift. So the question is, we don't know if, you find a will, you don't know that he wrote another will and changed his mind and gave it to, we have no idea. So the question is, by giving it to him, is it going to take away from someone else? You know what? If he never changed his mind, so then you should give it to him, because then this guy will never get it. But if he did change his mind, so the other guy will get it. There's no harm giving it to the original guy. That's what we're trying to say. But so therefore, in the braisa, you don't give it back. There, it was done with the son. It's a little confusing there, but the bori and bray. Bori means a healthy person. Bray means the son. Maybe what happened was the father originally wrote it to give it to the other guy, and the father changed his mind. And this is really an earlier will, and the father never gave it, and so this guy really is not entitled to this death gift. And after the father died, the kids decided to give it to someone else. And then the kids changed their mind. And the problem is the kids can't change their mind. So they came up with a scheme to pull out the father's earlier will to take it away from the one who they gave it to. Let's say father gave it to this one. People come up with stranger schemes, by the way. Schemes, they're all kinds of schemes. So again, they gave it to somebody and then they regretted they gave it to him. And then they pulled out an earlier version of their father's will so they could try to take it away from him. So the only problem is, if they're given to someone else, how will that help them? The answer was, they were in cahoots with him. They said, go along with this scheme. We'll take it away from him and we'll split the proceeds. We can't give it to him. Maybe even though the father had this earlier will, maybe it was never given. And you decided to give it with someone else and you're changing your mind. And on the other hand, if what you're saying is true, that your father did give it to this guy, and we're not giving you that deed, no problem. So you should write a new deed giving it to this guy. Inami lo yavi lavua, because if your father never gave it and you give it, les bepsedi de kamo basur kamazochi, because the one who has the earlier deed is definitely going to win. So even if you're lying about whether your father gave it or not, and you do a new deed, the court will go with the first one who got it, not the second one. So the bottom line is, even though we just went through a lot of words, we were looking for a solution about whether, one case we said you should return the will that you found, and the other case we said you shouldn't. The first answer was that one case was talking about a will written on the deathbed, then you can give it back because anyways you could change your mind, so no harm done. And the other case we're talking about a will written on a healthy bed. And then the second answer we gave is really both cases we're talking about a will on the deathbed. One case was a question of the father changing his mind, and one was a father saying to give it, and the other case was where the kids said to give it. Okay, and then in the case of the kids, we said you shouldn't give it because maybe there's a scheme going on over here, and if the kids really want someone else to get it, they could write a new document, and the court will decide to go with the better document. Okay, moving on. Today's daf. Tana Rabbanan. What about if you found a shofar? You found a receipt that the ksuva was paid. I did all this so Michael wouldn't miss today's page. How do you like that? Yesterday I didn't quite finish, but okay. Matzah shofar. You found a receipt. That's a famous word called the shofar, a receipt. But was the receipt given? Sometimes, and again, in those days, you don't appreciate, we have these automatic receipts. Then we had a scribe. Not everybody knew how to write. So you had the scribe and said, the husband might want to pay me, but I have to give him a receipt, especially the woman. She wouldn't, so she had the scribe write her a receipt. And now you find it. So the question is, was this receipt given, the husband paid her the ksuva, and she gave it to him? Or no, she was holding on to it, waiting for the money to be paid so she could give it to him. He might say, I won't give it to you until you get a receipt. So then meanwhile, she's going to lose her chance to get paid. So she has the receipt pre-written. So Motza Shobas Manch Isha Moda. If you ask the woman and she says, yeah, I got the money. So no problem, Yaksa the bomb. Give it back to her husband. Ain't Isha Moda? If she says no, then you hold on. Lozeza. Bismanch Isha Moda. But as long as the woman is good with it, me Yaksa the bomb. Aye, but let's be afraid. If the woman pre-wrote it, what about our famous problem that we've had in all we keep on consistently asking this, pre-written documents cause trouble for people that do business with people because the Vidilma Kosov Lebanisim. Maybe she wrote the receipt, hopefully the husband will pay up a Nisim, but he didn't actually, she never gave it to him until Tishrei. Meanwhile, and she sold the ksuva and did business, and all of a sudden the document says that it was paid in Nisan, and this is going to run havoc. So maybe we shouldn't give back this document, because how do we know the date of the giving? It doesn't say the date of the giving, it just says the date of the writing. Omar Rava, as we turn to Shmami now, Isla Shmuel. It must be we hold of Shmuel. The Omar Shmuel, we're on Chaf Amad Aleph 20a, Hamokish Tarkov Lekaveiro, that the thing about a ksuva is, if somebody owes you money, and you say, all right, instead of paying me, pay someone else. He gave me money and I gave it to you. I could still forgive that loan. Because when I sell somebody else my OU, they still owe me. And it goes, basically, they owe me and I'm transferring that to him, but it's going through me. So if I ever tell the guy, no, forget it, you don't have to pay me back, so they won't have to pay him back. And even an heir could do an estate can forgive the father's loan. So here, even though the question was, if she didn't get the, since the ksuva was hers, so therefore, the receipt would be valid, even if it was written earlier. Abaye says, even if we don't agree with Shmuel, Halchamai Eskin and Bishtar Ksuva Yotzi Mitachas Yada. She has the Ksuva, not him. So then, likely, since she has the Ksuva, so she didn't sell the Ksuva to someone else, she has it. So that we wouldn't be concerned about that. Rava says, Imishum Shtar Ksuva. Well, how do you know she has the real Ksuva? Maybe she wrote a second one, because she's a Shtei Ksuvas. And especially I mentioned to you that it's pretty common that sometimes people lose a Ksuva and you just write up another one. So how do you know which Ksuva that is? Well, Rabbi, first of all, Shtei Ksuvas, why should we assume that's what happened? V'od Shober Bismanu Taref, and you would go by the date. Abaye goes, according to his view, that he says that even if the receipt was written earlier, that would remove any kind of lien, because the Eidim B'chusum Zochalo, it becomes valid from when it's written, even if she didn't receive the money yet. If she wrote the receipt, you'd have to deal with it as if the ksuva was paid off. So, the issue here is you find a receipt for a ksuva, and our question is, well, what if the husband didn't actually pay yet? So it kind of depends on, can she pre-write the receipt? How does that work? Okay, just like all the pre-written documents, similar questions. New Mishnah. Matzi Gerishum. What happens if you find a document that gives a value to the lender owed money, and the courts told him how much of the estate from the buyer he could receive? So you found that document. Or igres mazon, or the a husband is required to feed his wife's stepchildren. They're his stepchildren, and you find this document. Or shtari chalitza and miyunim, or you find a document that this woman got chalitza, or the case of miyun, she went in front of the court and nullified her marriage. Vishtare beirin, and or you found a document which chose, we'll see in the Gemara what kind of thing you chose. So basically, there's many different types of documents. V'kol ma'aseh beis din, anything that a court would, you just came across a bunch of documents. So harei zeh, just give them back. Give them back. All these other types of documents you should give back. Next, matzah b'chavisa b'lusma. What about if you find a whole bundle? You found them in a, like a briefcase, or you found them in a d'lusma. These are various, again, we'll see in the Gemara what these words mean, but you find the bundles, so you should give them, or with like a string around them, oh, a good ishostaros, or they're wrapped together, harei ze yaksu. Basically, even though there are many of them together, you give the whole thing back. What's considered a bundle? Three. And they're tied together. Shurin Shavashim Galil says, echad alova mishlosha. It says, well, if you find three, so if one person borrowed from three different people, and it's the same borrower on all three, then you give it back to the loiva, to the borrower, because he's the one who dropped them. Shlosha loivin min echad, what happens if there's three different borrowers and one lender, then you give it back to the lender. In other words, you have three documents, you see who's, if they have the same borrower on all three, you give them back to the borrower. If they have the same lender on all three, you give them back to the lender. Matzishtar ben Sharosov. Let's say you find a document, vein you do a mativo, and you don't know whether this document was ever given, so what should you do? Don't do any harm, just hold on to it until you find further information. Im yesh imohen simponios. What about if you have a document, and next to there's an IOU, and next to the document is a payment. I owe this person, and then there's the receipt. The simpon is the receipt. So so it's true you have a document that somebody owes, but next to the document that they owe is a document that somebody paid. So then you got to do what you got to go with both. Yes, amai shir simponios. You do what's in you listen to the receipt. Because if both documents are true, the second one says it was paid, right? So, okay, so we're going to see all these cases. So one of the things the Mishnah said, if you find various documents, give them back. So one of them was called the word borer, a document of choosing. What is that? So haka targimu. So here it's explained, shtari tenasov. He says it means the each one puts forth their claim. It means they put into writing in the court. Sometimes they write what each one is supposed to say what exactly he's... they had this this Trump case in Georgia where they threw out some of the... because they felt the claims weren't clear exactly which thing were they accusing him of. You can, in order to defend yourself, you have to be specific. You did this, and... Okay, no, I didn't, or this is why I did this. But if you're not specific enough in your claim, then you don't enable the other person to defend himself. So that's called a star tainaso. It clarifies exactly what your complaint is. You did X, Y, Z, and that shouldn't have been done, and therefore I want X, Y, Z, star tain. So those get back. Rav Yirmiyah says, no, it's actually a different. Zeh baro lo echad, zeh baro lo. It's a famous way of choosing a person in a case. You're always worried that you... It's a big problem with our legal system is that you can choose a judge if you're a Republican and you'll get a Democratic judge that's on the other side. Or the other way around. If you're a Democrat, you get a Republican judge. So in a Torah system, each party gets to choose one judge. And then the two judges pick the third together. So that each one has an advocate. So that nobody can claim... You picked a judge who knows you, you know, who's likely to choose you, you know, who you think, based on his ruling, is going to favor you. So the word borer means I chose the document about which judge you pick. Okay. The kol meis anything that's a meis beis and give back. Now the Gemara is going to bring a story we brought already once. Ahu gittinisha beidina de Rav Huna. They once found an old divorce in the court of Rav Huna. And the divorce said that it was written Bishure Masa in a city called Shure Masa, and the Shure Masa was located on Ruchus Nara. Now the problem was Shure Masa was means like it's just like Main Street. You know, there's a Main Street in every town, or there's Martin Luther King Drive, or George, you know, or Veterans Boulevard. Every you know, there's every little city you go in has a street of that name, right? So Ruchus Masa is like a generic name, and it was written on this very long waterway. So how can you deliver the divorce for somebody of this name, even if nobody in the local village? There's only one couple with that name. Maybe there's other people, other villages of that same name. So Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, that's a good point. Chashin l'shtei shir, there might be two cities of that same name. Rashi, Chashin l'shtei shir, as we turn the page, he says, even though there's two shiri cities, even though Sheshuri Hayudu Alana, the one that we know about, Ein Bo Shnei, even city names, you know, like there's two, there's Athens, Georgia, there's two Columbus, you know, there's Columbus, Ohio, and there's Columbus. When you do Waze, by the way, that's one of the big challenges that you have to read. There's like 10 different places of the same name, and if you get the wrong place, you're going to have trouble, yes, you're in for like, I've seen it many times, like, are you going to Alabama or in the South? Also, they have the same heroes and the same. So it's like just the same. The names, you got to be very careful. You know, I don't want the one in Alabama. I want the one in Georgia. I want the one in. So even though the one that we know of, Shnei Yosef and Shimon, there's only one person of that name. Shema Yeshuri Acheres. Maybe there's another city called Shuri that has another Yosef and Shimon, and it was written over there, and it fell from a different person. So back to the Gemara. So Amar Rav Kista, the Rabba Pukayan, right? So Rav Kista told Rabba, check into this discussion, because tomorrow they're going to discuss it in the base measure. The Urta Boile, Rav Huna, he's going to ask you. Nafik, he went out, Dach v'eshkak. And he found a source. The Tanan, Kol Maisa Bezen Harayiza Yaxer. He said, you should give it back. As long as you don't know there's two cities, you can give it back. So Amar Le Rav Amar and the Rava Heki Pashat Mari Sura Memono. How are you bringing a proof? The Mishnah was talking about like wills and gift documents. This is a question of Isser, of the woman being forbidden, whether it's a good get. How can you learn Isser from Mamon? Amar Le Tarda, you fool. This Tarda is not a nice expression, usually. He felt that this was not a good argument because What was his? Why was he? He said, "How can you learn from the Mishnah that you return documents? The Mishnah is only talking about monetary documents." He said, "What do you mean? Shtari chalitza umiyan? Didn't you read the Mishnah, you fool? The Mishnah is talking about chalitza and miyan. Those are marriage documents. So if it says chalitza and miyan, so a divorce document would be the same. So therefore," he said that the question was not a good question. Now, it's always aggravating when one person gets upset with another, even in Gemara. So what happened was they were sitting in the base medrash that day. Paka Arz, a tree fell down. Debe Rav, the tree and a piece of wood broke. So and it was like a sign that Hashem wasn't happy that they were fighting in the base medrash. So the rabbis rushed to apologize. Maro Mishum Dia Las, it was my fault. It was a stupid question. Maro Mar Mishum Las, no, it was my fault. I shouldn't have asked it. You know, like each one said, you know, they caused the Rebbe to get angry or they asked the wrong question. It's like the opposite. Instead of trying to blame people, people try to say sorry first. But each one was saying, maybe I, you know, they should have been more careful. Okay. Is there a Rashi on Tarda over here? I think there was.
First narrow line.
Tarda Mishumim. Mishumim means like, it's worse than Meshugna. It means like desolate, like it's just not a good answer. Okay, next. So, Paka B'Chvisa. So, we said, what if you found a stash of documents, either in a Chafisa or in the Dluskugma? So, the Gemara says, what's that word mean? What's Chafisa? So, Amar Rabbi Barchana, Chamas Katana. It's a small flask. So, I think with flask, we always think of liquid, but it's a leather container. You find it in a leather container. So, it's a leather sash or something to protect the a leather folder. And what?
Just a quick question. I know we're not up to it yet. Eilim Tzius is coming up soon, but certainly if there was a siman on this, I mean, obviously saw these documents, he opened them up, he sees the name, he sees the city, and then he's trying to figure out, should I return it? But mm-hmm. You could have the name in there, and then the siman is identified by some other person. I mean, it's like we normally go by the siman that's there. With the tag on it or whatever, you would give it back to that person that put the red string around it, as opposed to Jane Smith or John mm-hmm. Doe or whatever mm-hmm. whose name is in the document.
It's correct. What happens if this was found in my briefcase? And my briefcase, I can identify it, right? So then we're not going to look at the documents inside to figure out who to return it. We'll figure out who owns the briefcase. So correct. Assuming there's no other sign and we find a whole bunch of documents, so then we analyze the documents to figure out who the owner is.
Right.
So, but in the first case was you found it all in a leather folder or in a dluskma. What's a dluskma? So Amar Rav Rashbol, Tlika Desabi. It's an old man's the older people have certain habits, and so apparently old people carry a certain kind of sack. Don't know what today you would call it. It's just like an old-fashioned one. The young people don't. It's an old man's. What was the art school call it? Or
a box used by elderly people.
A box used by elderly people. Okay, like a crayon box or something. It's just like some young person said, "I would never carry that." It's like too. You know, they'd have a designer one or something. But it's an old person's box. Okay. So then we say takushostaros. It's either like a string or a bundle. Tanurabun. Kamihei takushostar. What do you call like a bundle? So it's three and they're kruking zebeze and they're folded together. And how much is an aguda shostaros? That's not where they're folded together, but they're stacked together. That's three and they're tied together. So both of them work. Now shma mina kesher simenu. And we're saying the fact that they're tied, that's a way of identifying it, like it has a knot on it. Tani Reb Kiyah Shlosha Krukim Zebza. He says, no, it just means that they're folded together. So then it isn't the same. So the Gemara said there's two different styles. Tachruk means each one, Barosha de Chavra. One begins and one ends. Aguda de Ramiya Dadi, that's where each one is sitting flat on top of the other. In other words, one is like a long, they're made into like a longer document that's rolled over, continuous, whereas one is they're stacked up on top of each other. my makris. So,
so it's on the same parchment?
Could be. What?
You roll one, and then when you finish rolling the other one, then you start the next one, but it's all...
That's what I was thinking, or something like that.
So they're not separate.
They're not separate. Tied together.
They're not stacked on top, they're just...
Continuous.
Yeah, in other words, you can have three piled together and then rolled up all together.
Right.
Or you can have the first one rolled up and then you start rolling the next one on top of that.
Is it hard to cut the parchment or something? Like, why wouldn't they want separate?
This is just the way you found it. It's just the way.
Just to different people. What's the logistics? How do you give that to the right people? If they're all hooked together.
So we're assuming that one person lost them, that came from a cord or something. Yeah. So my makris, what exactly, what do you announce? What do you say? So the Gemara says, minyan. You announce, tell me how many documents, I found a number of documents, tell me how many. So the Gemara said, well, why does it got to be three? A filu train, even if you found two. Kedom Ravinu Teva. Because you say document or documents. So just like over there by coin and coins, Hachanami Shtari Makras. You announce, I find documents. And the guy tells you three. Okay, I found three. So that's how it's. Rishingam Leo says, Echad Aloiva Mishlosha. He says, well, check if they have the same borrower, the same lender. Diesel. Yeah.
Well, usually in Gemara, plural is two. So you always have to say documents are three. Documents could be two.
Right. So you announced plural, and he told you three. So then you announced it means at least two. Correct. But he told you three. So then that tells you he knows he's telling the truth. I lost three, and I found three. But
you just announced you lost documents. You don't say I found three documents. I found documents.
Right, that's right. You say, I found documents, or I found document. So if you found document, so a guy can't say you found one. But if you say, I found a certain number of documents, can anybody tell me, you know, how many are you missing? I'm missing three. Oh, I got them. So,
well, I guess in that case, you could say one, too. If you say, I found, you know, whatever, you have to figure it out how to say it exactly. But, I mean, it could be one.
So I think that's exactly what the Gemara is saying, is that you either you said plural, and then if somebody tells you the number, they're good. Now, if you only found one, I don't know if you could, the person's going to have to identify it with some other way. It's like you found a bill. I lost a bill. That doesn't tell me enough. But how much did I, you know? Okay. So if it's the same borrower, so what are they doing all by the... Malvin Ech, if they're different lenders, why does one person have them? Dilma Kayuma Usli, maybe they went to him to confirm them. Dimikaime. So Gemara said, Dilma Miyadu Safra Nafel. Maybe the scribe was holding on to them, and the scribe had different lenders. Gemara said, Lomashi Indi Kayuma Miyadu Safra. You're not going to leave that in the hand of the scribe. It's very dangerous to leave the Kiyum there. So then we said three people that borrow from one, you give it to the lender. If it belongs to the borrower, why would he have the three different documents of the lender? My boy Gabi Adadi. So Gemara said, Dilma Miktav Adadi. Maybe they were written together. Maybe the same lender, the same scribe, wrote three different documents. So Gemara said, custom. No, there's three different scribes. So why would he have three different lenders? Vidilma Kayuma Usla, maybe they went there to confirm them. Malva Mekayim Shtarva. The lender might make sure that his IOU is good and the court approves of it. Loiva, the borrower, he's not going to go out of his way to confirm that this is a good IOU, that I really owe you the money. He knows he owes the money. He'd rather it not be confirmed so well. So then we said, what if there's a receipt with it? You do what's in the receipt. So where does this word come from, this word receipt? So this is a great word. Simpon actually means like a blemish. A Kohen who has a simpon. We had it, we actually had it if a person gets engaged and he finds a simpon on the girl, and she shouldn't eat truma because... since he's only engaged, we don't know if he'll go through the marriage because maybe something will happen and they'll change their mind because he didn't know that she had this blemish. That's where we had the word simpon.
Rashi, narrow line, 2 inches from the bottom.
Thank you, Rashi. 2 inches from simpon. Shover hamavato shtar. It's a receipt that nullifies the implications of the document. The kol dav, anything that nullifies, called simkon. Where if you were going to marry a woman and she's missing a leg, or mechiras eved, or you're selling a shamum, kori simine shemavato, because it's a deal breaker. Simpon means there's something that nullifies the other thing.
Like an undo document.
Yeah. So it's a document undo. So you find an IOU, but then you find the receipt that it was paid. So then you have to listen to the receipt. Back to the Gemara, 3 lines down. Or Vimra Barava Omar Rav.
That would be dated afterwards anyway, though, right? It's undoing something.
Either there's both have dates or neither has dates, but they're both equal. Both documents are equal. So Omar Rav, Simpana Yotza Mitakus Yad Malva, if it's coming from the hand of the lender, Afa Pisha Kosabaksav Yado, even though it's, what about if the lender wrote it? So Einu Elka Mitzakech. He's just, the lender's teasing him. When you pay me back, I'll give you this receipt. Upasal, that's no good. So Moli, Kosab Ksav Yad Sofer, not only when it's written by the scribe, to Ikalim Emer Sofer is Ramile. You know what? You have the scribe. So you wanted to have the receipt ready, so he'll pay you. Kosab Elafil, Kosab Ksav Yad, even if it's in his signature puzzle, it's not good. Sofer Dom Misrami V'Osi Benish Moshes. The lender is thinking, you know what, maybe he's going to want to come pay me back Friday afternoon, and there won't be time to get witnesses and a scroll of a kaparali. And if I don't have a receipt ready, he won't give it to me. You're always supposed to ask for a receipt. So therefore, ektav ana, I'll pre-write it to ki asali. When he comes and gives me the money, then I'll give it to him. So we can't give the receipt to the borrower, because maybe the lender never gave him the receipt and he just pre-wrote it. Tanan, we learned, if there's a receipt, you do what's in the receipt. But how do we know that if we find the receipt with the IOU, maybe the lender just wrote it in case it was paid? So our question here is this. We're saying that there's a concept of pre-writing a receipt to have it ready for when the borrower pays. So if that's true, if we found the IOU and the receipt, why would we assume the receipt means it's paid? Maybe it's just there for when the borrower gives them the money. The lender has the check. The lender says, you owe me $100. And he leaves the receipt there. And he's waiting for the borrower to show up and give him the money, then he'll hand him the receipt. So why is it that if we find the receipt and the IOU, we listen to the receipt? How do we know the receipt was given? And so, because Omer of Safra, she made sure the IOU was torn. So that indicates that it makes sense that the receipt was given. If the IOU was torn, so then that tells you to listen. Even though we're saying listen to the receipt, that's when there's an indication that the original document was long paid up. So what Toshma will prove that it's done. Nimsalaka ben Sharosa Shosha Yosef ben Shimon Perua Sharoshne and Peruim. We say they're both. If you found that it says Perua, that my documents were paid, the loans were paid, that you find the lender wrote that his debts were paid, so, and we don't know which one, we assume both. So how do you know which one? So the Gemara says it could be the same thing. Like Rav Sav, Shin Rav Sabin, Shtar was Kuruim. The original documents were torn. That's why you're assuming they're paid. Here also, Bain Shtar was Kuruim. So our question really is what to do with the receipt. So obviously, if there's something about the original that's fishy, that's torn, then we would assume that the receipt means that it was paid. Our question is, well, what if we don't know if it was paid and he just pre-wrote it? So that we'll have to deal with. Okay. Have a good day, everyone. Yeah. We'll find out about the receipt. Tomorrow we're starting Mirtz Hashem. We start chapter 2, new subject. And tomorrow's page is very famous because many people learned it at one point in life. It's just a well-known Mish'eilu Metzius. And so that was good to come back. Yeah.
Just a quick question. Do you presume that on Thursday things will be different because the Tanis, Laney, Kainu, and Purachim and everything else, probably won't start at 7:45.
Probably. It really depends on the minyan. Some minyanim, they make sure that no matter what, they go at the right pace and they finish at the same time. Our minyan is not terrible, but there sometimes is a variable. It just depends on, they do tend to get behind. They do tend that a little bit later. It's just, I can't say for sure.
In our case, we're starting